presenting Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves.
CX-4 calling control tower. CX-4 calling control tower. Standing by.
Control tower, back to CX-4. Wind southeast, ceiling 1200. All clear.
Okay, this is Hop Harrigan coming in.
Yes, it's America's ace of the airways, coming in for another transcribed episode in the adventures of Hop Harrigan.
Airline operators and flying sportsmen who've bought government surplus planes to be converted to peacetime use have run across a kind of mail service that is something new to the post office. I'll bet you'll be as surprised as they were to learn that hundreds of GIs overseas sent word to the home folks by a super speedy air mail that never required a single stamp or even a sheet of paper. You know what they did? Well, when a flying fortress or any other ship was heading back to the States to be repaired or overhauled or replaced, the boys would send a message along, right on the plane itself. Favorite places to paint the message were the propeller blades or the nose or almost anywhere else that happened to appeal to the fellow doing the painting. And when the decorated plane reached the States, the message would be passed on by one of the crew or a member of the stateside ground crew. Messages home are only a part of this wartime mail service. GIs would send word to their buddies at other bases or airfields in the same way. And so hundreds of friends were able to keep track of each other and pass on the latest dope to each other across thousands of miles of land and sea. It was all started by a GI who was working on a flying fortress bound for Australia. He happened to remember a buddy of his was stationed there, so he painted a message to him on the ship. Well, that started it. And as buyers of war surplus planes have seen, more and more messages were added to some of the planes until they were one long, friendly letter from nose to tail. I'll be back to tell you more about this special airmail later, so don't forget to listen. And now to our story. Fog, thick and cottony, has settled over the midwestern town of Lakeville and the surrounding countryside. At the airport, the hangars and the small administration office can be seen only as miniature islands in a sea of grayish-white foam. As the heavy mist, whipped by errant puffs of wind, curls and billows over the field in fantastic, ghost-like shapes. With operations totally suspended by the 0-0 conditions, Hop and Tank relax in the office. The lumbering mechanic lies on the couch, reading the funny paper. Hop is seated behind the desk, telling Gail Nolan about their adventure in New Orleans the day before.
It got to be pretty tough at the end. I didn't know whether we would crack the mystery or would just have to fold up and come back home, licked.
Well, you were lucky Bert Craig finally broke down before Paul actually signed away his airline.
Yeah, I'll say we were.
Say.
What?
Talking about engines.
We weren't.
You hear that?
What?
I hear an engine.
Oh, Tank, nobody'd fly in this weather.
I tell you, I hear an engine.
He's right, Gil.
Tank, where are you going?
To have a look.
We can't see anything out there.
I can hear a better... someplace south of us. Not too high, either.
How can a plane fly in pea soup like this?
It may be on instruments. If it's a big enough plane, it won't make much difference.
It ain't a big plane. Single engine. About 150 horse. Hey, he's coming down.
Good Lord.
Looks like he's almost over the field.
There isn't 20 feet between the ground and the ceiling. What's he trying to do?
Can't you see him at all, Hop?
No.
Hey, he's on top of us, Doc.
Something's wrong up there. No one in his right mind would pull a stunt like that.
Maybe he's trying to land here.
That chance he's got.
He's circling.
Bob, he must be lost. Can't you do something?
I wonder. Tank, wait here. Track him for me as long as you can.
Hey, what are you going to do?
Try and get him on the radio.
You know he's got a radio.
Only one way to find out. Now. Gail.
Yes?
When was the set installed?
Last Friday.
Then our call letters won't be posted in the bulletin yet. He won't be trying to raise us.
Can't you call him?
I'll have to fish around on the chance of picking up his call since I don't know his way, Ben.
He's still circling. Holding south of the field now.
Right.
Any luck, Hop?
No. I guess he hasn't got a radio.
Well, we'll keep trying.
Come in.
Wait a minute.
Got him?
Can't be sure. Maybe a regular airliner.
Plane's cutting east now.
There, listen, Gail.
It's the same voice. You've got him.
I guess we have.
Emergency. Running short.
Hop.
Must have help. Cannot land because of fog. Come in, please.
Hop, answer him.
Hello, Fairchild. Acknowledge, Fairchild.
Thank goodness. This is the Fairchild. I've been calling you for 15 minutes. Can you get me in? My fuel supply is low and I haven't much time.
Hello, Fairchild. You're way off course. You're over Lakeville, 500 miles west of Wichita.
500 miles west? But that's impossible.
You're circling now, aren't you? About 500 feet up?
Yes, 600 feet to be exact. Do you see me?
No, but we can hear you. And you'd better climb.
But I must land. I'm running out of gas.
Sorry you can't land here. We're socked in. 00 conditions. You'll have to go on to New City. They'll bring you in on a ground control approach.
How far am I from New City?
200 miles north of here. Give me a heading and I'll give you a course correction.
I can't make it. I only have enough gas for 15 minutes more. Can't you land me at your field?
Listen, the field is closed in. You can't land here. We haven't any equipment for blind landings.
Can't you talk me in?
Oh, not unless I can see you, and I can't. The fog's right down to the ground here.
I see. Stand by a moment, will you?
Standing by.
Can't you do something for him? Isn't there any other field near here that might be open?
Gail, they're all socked in tight.
We can't let him crash.
I tell you, there's nothing we can do. Unless...
Yes?
Hey, Pop, what's going on?
He's in a bad way, Tank. Only has enough gas for 15 minutes more flying.
Uh-oh.
Pop, what's your idea?
Well?
Hello? Lake,
hold it.
That's him.
Yes, sir.
Come in.
Go ahead, Fairchild.
Listen, can you guide me over the center of your airport?
You're over us now.
Good.
Hey, Tank, go back to the door. Listen for him.
Check.
Now, please pay close attention. My name is Albert Cross. I am en route, or rather, I was en route to Washington, D.C. from Mexico.
From Mexico? He's way off course.
My son is with me, a boy of 13.
Oh, Hop.
I'm going to push him over the side in a parachute. Do you understand?
Why, yes, sir, but what about you? Why can't you bail out?
There is only one parachute.
Well, that's all right. If he's only 13, he can ride down in your arms. The chute will hold the weight.
That will be impossible. You see, I can't move. I have a bullet in my hip. I couldn't possibly make it.
Oh, no.
Now, do you understand, Lakeville?
Yes, sir. But listen, there may still be a way to get you in. How much gas have you left?
10 minutes at the most. Is there a reasonable chance?
Well, frankly, it's pretty tricky, but it's still a chance.
All right. But I refuse to risk my son's life. I'll send him down by parachute anyway.
Well, that's up to you, sir. And climb and circle.
Very well.
And keep your set open for further instructions.
Right.
Gail.
Yes?
Take over the set. Keep in touch with him. Tank and I have work to do.
Right.
Okay, Tank, on the ball. We've got a lot to do and no time to do it in.
As Gail settles down at the radio transmitter, she sees Hop and Tank rush out of the office to be swallowed up almost immediately by deadly clinging fog. What is the young pilot going to do to help the lost pilot? And what has happened to him? How was he shot? We'll learn more in just a moment, gang, so stand by. One day in 1944, Captain Frank Judd of the Army Air Forces was standing around one of our Army airfields in India, wondering how and when he'd find transportation back to the United States. He had just ferried a new bomber to India, and now he was ready to head for home. Well, the boys at the field told Captain Judd that there was a flying fortress standing out in the desert that he could have if he wanted it. So he went to look at the plane and tried to find its records, where it had been before and what it was doing sitting out there in the sun and sand. It seemed to be in fairly good shape, although an almost new coat of olive drab paint had begun to peel off because of the intense desert heat. As for the records, well, they were missing. No one knew where the plane had been or why it would have been forgotten for these months in India. Perhaps the original crew had been given a new flying fort and flew away, leaving the old plane behind. Well, at any rate, Judd decided to fly home in the mystery plane. And as he checked it over, he peeled away some of the olive drab paint around the nose. Well, he began to learn more right then and there, because under the olive drab, he found the plane's name, Betsy the Second, and under the name was a string of Japanese flags, near which some unknown crew member had written, "Take good care of this ship. She is down 10 zeros. Well, Judd flew her back to the States and arrived safely, bringing with him another example of how Army airmen used their own planes as message carriers, even to the extent of conducting transoceanic correspondence. Yes, it was a super airmail service, invented during the war by the world's best soldier, the GI. And now we'd like to leave a message with you, a message that you've probably come to expect on this program. Fellas and girls, always remember, America needs flyers. And now back to our story. A single-engine Fairchild monoplane circles slowly over the fog-bound Lakeville Airport, its pilot in desperate trouble. Hop and Tank fight against time to bring him in for a safe landing, and now they have completed preparations for the attempt. Hop rushes back into the office where Gale sits at the radio transmitter.
Okay, Gale, we're all set.
You better talk to Mr. Cross. He's awfully worried.
Right. Hello, Lakeville to Fairchild. Come in.
Hello. Is everything ready down there? I'm at 4,000 feet, still circling.
Yes, we can hear you. Do you still want to send your son down by parachute?
Yes, I insist.
All right, then. Have him jump now. He'll land right on the field.
Good. He's ready. I'll just push him over. There. He's on the way. Watch for him.
Right.
And don't worry if he's still unconscious when he lands.
What?
He didn't want to go without me. I was forced to knock him out.
Oh, great Scott. How will he open the chute?
I tied a static cord to the ripcord ring. The parachute's open. Please look for him.
Now, there's someone out in the field waiting now. Gale, go out and tell Tank the boy's on his way down.
All right. What about Mr. Cross?
I'll try to get him down now. Hello, Mr. Cross.
Go ahead.
I'm going to try to get you in now. How much gas have you left?
No more than 3 minutes.
All right. Start losing altitude. Spiral down and let me know when you're at 500 feet.
Very well. Going down. What are you going to do?
Have you ever heard of Fido, sir? The English used it during the war, a way of dispersing fog by means of fire.
Yes, vaguely. But I don't know how it works.
You simply burn the fog off the ground by fire. We've laid a trail of gasoline on the runway, and as soon as you're down to 500, we'll ignite it. It'll burn off the fog for a few minutes and possibly show you the way in.
I see. Down to 1,000 feet now.
Keep coming.
Bob.
Yes, Gale?
The boy's down. Tank's going out to get him. I'm going out, too.
Hello, Mr. Cross. Your son's safe. He's on the ground.
Oh, thank heaven for that. Now, please listen closely. In his jacket, you'll find a large envelope. Will you please take it and put it in a safe place? If something should happen to me, if I shouldn't get down, please see that the envelope gets to Air Intelligence Headquarters in Washington. Have you got that?
Yes, but we'll get you down all right.
I hope so. But just in case, make sure the envelope reaches Washington. It's very important.
Okay, it will, sir.
Down to 500 feet. What are your orders?
You're over the center of the field. I'm going to bring you in from the south. Take a heading of 180 degrees. Maintain a gradual descent. Hold your airspeed at 120 miles and fly for 30 seconds.
Airspeed 120, 30 seconds.
Then a 180 turn to a due north heading. Throttle back, maintain descent, and you should see the runway.
Order understood.
Go to it and good luck. Signing off. We'll be waiting for you. Lakeville out.
Remember my instructions about the envelope. Fairchild out.
Gale.
Yes?
Get Tank over here. We've got to start that fire.
Boy, he's out cold. I'm coming, Hop.
I'll light the fire.
Jack.
No, Gale, wait.
Okay. Here it goes.
Yeah. Fire's lit. Pray that it works, Tank. Pray as hot as you can.
Hop stares up into the fog-bound sky, straining for a sight of the plane as it circles to come in for a landing on the blazing runway. Will Hop's desperate plan succeed? Gang, Hop, and Tank will soon find themselves enmeshed in an exciting new adventure. So be sure to listen. Tune in and fly with Hop, Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves. So long, Hop. We'll be seeing you same time, same mutual station. Harrigan is the transcribed copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazine.